For Illinois Public Radio, I'm Sam Dunklaw. The Illinois State Armory Building is perhaps the largest state-owned building that no longer has a purpose. The 200,000-square-foot behemoth was once a fixture of life and culture in downtown Springfield and a central component to the state capitol complex. But the more than 80-year-old building is a shell of what it once was. It's fallen into disrepair. That may be about to change now that state lawmakers devoted $120 million from the latest infrastructure plan to fix up the place. As plans for how to do that begin to take shape, one big question looms. Can the state armory be made usable again? And if so, what might that look like? I explored the legacy and what lies ahead for the Illinois State Armory. I'm walking to meet up with a guy who's an expert on old buildings, Anthony Rubano.
I'm a project designer with the State Historic Preservation Office in the Illinois Department of Natural Resources.
We've met in front of a five-story limestone and concrete structure that spans an entire city block in downtown Springfield, across from the State Capitol building. Anthony starts to tell me about it.
Well, we're looking at the Illinois State Armory that was built in the mid-1930s and functioned as such for many years.
Illinois has had three of these kinds of buildings since the Civil War. They were designed to store weapons and quarter horses for the state militia. The first was torn down and replaced by a castle-looking structure, but that was destroyed in 1934 when it was set on fire by a 10-year-old kid. Builders commissioned by FDR's Work Progress Administration set to work constructing this building in its place. And it's got the 1930s written all over it. Art Deco lighting fixtures, vertical columns with wavy lines, steel window panels with Roman-looking shields in the middle of them. All by design, Rubano says.
It reinforced the power of the Republic and democratic ideals, but then also this veneer of newness, of modernism, of streamlined design.
The armory kind of looks like a giant sandwich if viewed from above. The bread, in this case, is the building's two sets of offices that sit on either side, and the meat is a giant auditorium. Wait, what? I ask Rubano why an auditorium is smack dab in the middle of a military building. Turns out, that's where the National Guard used to train its soldiers.
Well, the drill hall is a large open space, and armories have, normally, a large open drill hall, so you have this large central volume that really could be used for anything that required a large gathering of people, so it functioned very well as an indoor, like an amphitheater.
An amphitheater that, in its heyday, was a cultural hub for downtown Springfield and the state at large. To find out a little bit more about what took place in there over the decades, I met up with historian Curtis Mann.
I am the manager of the Sangamon Valley Collection.
He spends all day researching Springfield area history, which includes state buildings like the armory.
Really, what's interesting is that it was supposed to be for the military components of the National Guard as a place for them, but they also had two other purposes. One of those was to supply state offices.
At the time, state government was expanding and needed more people to fill more roles. More people equals more offices.
And the third purpose, which it served for a long time, was kind of like a civic center. It was used for a variety of large gatherings, you know, basketball games, conventions, political rallies.
People like JFK and Martin Luther King Jr. spoke in the hall.
Shows, concerts.
That's right. A government building once hosted rock and roll concerts at the height of the anti-establishment movement. The man who brought them here was an enterprising young promoter named Len Trumper, who started his company Whatever Productions in 1971.
I just knew there was nothing going on in Springfield. Nothing for kids to do. I went in and out of the army and Vietnam and all that stuff, and came home and I still saw there was nothing for people to do, so I thought, I'm going to try something.
Over the years, he convinced at least 100 national acts to perform at places like the State Armory. We're talking bands from AC/DC.
'Cause I'm TNT, I'm dynamite.
To Blue Oyster Cult.
Come on, baby, don't feel me. Baby, take my hand.
Tom Sullivan was a regular at those shows. He lives in California now, but remembers the Springfield Armory stage well.
The shows were usually standing room only. You could sit up in the bleachers if you wanted to, but they basically cleared out the whole floor of the armory, and people would just be sitting around, standing, or, you know, in circles, just groups of friends, and it was kind of a anything kind of goes.
Perhaps one of the most infamous of those anything goes shows involved an early Van Halen. On July 27th, 1979, Van Halen arrived in Springfield for a stop on their world tour. Their self-titled debut album had hit the charts, and they were well on their way to becoming a rock and roll sensation. And they were about to cause a whole bunch of trouble. First came the car ride between their downtown hotel and the Armory.
When I got there, my driver told me he couldn't do anything about it. He said, I couldn't stop him. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, come out and look at the car. And we got outside, and they had taken anything in that few blocks that they had to go, anything that was small enough to tear off, everything they threw out the window as they went down the road.
Once inside the Armory, they were greeted backstage by one of Trumper's trusted stagehands, Michelle Lechner.
In the dressing room that I had very nicely set up with these tablecloths and these trays of food and all of this, David Lee Roth got up, walked across the whole table full of food. It's like, eh. Thanks, you know, great. You guys are fun.
Curtis Mann says what Van Halen did after the show was all over the local news.
Not satisfied with the service they got. I understand that they set a small fire there and were on their way out of town when the police stopped and made them come back, you know, to answer for their actions.
The state would put an end to Armory shows shortly after that. Around the same time, a new downtown convention center was completed, rendering the Armory stage pretty much obsolete. As for the building itself, the Illinois State Police were the last state agency to move out in 2008. The Armory has since been used as a giant storage locker and has remained closed to the public. Which brings us to today. About $120 million has been approved for the State Armory and other Springfield projects in the new infrastructure plan. The building is controlled by the state's Central Management Services Agency, which says the money will go toward making the Armory a usable space. Anthony Rubano says that will involve some work.
There's a certain amount of baseline cost that it may take to bring a building up to a certain standard in terms of roof repair and utility replacement, HVAC and mechanical and plumbing.
But the goal is to renovate the place so the state and the public can use it again. What that will look like is up in the air right now, but some already have ideas. Take Lisa Clement Stott, Executive Director of Downtown Springfield, Inc.
There are thoughts about how it could be an indoor farmers market. You could potentially have the Bank of Springfield Center being the overseers of any activities where the public could use it, or that different things could be booked in there.
Or Springfield State Representative Tim Butler.
The EPA building on the north side of town off of North Grand, part of that building is going to be eliminated as part of the 10th Street Rail project comes through there. So there'll be a need to house EPA employees.
Whatever ideas state planners end up going with, there will be a review process, approval, and bidding before any shovels are in the ground. As you can imagine, that might take some time. But both state and local officials want to see the State Armory return to its former glory. Just don't expect a raucous rock concert in there anytime soon. I'm Sam Dunklaw.